I have a great privilege this morning to introduce our guest speaker. Our brother Stas Gorofietnikov from Lviv is going to be delivering our message today. Stas is here with his remarkable wife, Anne, and his beautiful family. He has three kids, Alyssa, who is 8 years old, George, who is two. It's my favorite name, by the way. He turns three in a couple days, and then baby Harry, who is 5 months old. Beautiful family here. I hope after services that you'll have the opportunity to introduce yourself to them and thank them for being with us. It is really a privilege for us to host them here at Isaiah City. I first met Stas 12 years ago on my first trip to Ukraine in Kramatorsk. And he came up to me because we were going to be going into some schools, some elementary schools in Kramatorsk to speak to the kids. And he came up to me and said, "I'm told that I need to interpretate for you." I said, "I don't know how this is going to go." So he was my first interpreter and only interpretator. So that's a great joke between us. He was 19 years old. He was serving already, committed to God. He was serving as the youth minister at the Slavyansk Church of Christ, which is about 30 minutes from Kramatorsk. I could see very quickly how on fire for God he was. We had a great time that day. We were at school all day long. And at the end of the day, I told our class this morning, I'll never forget it. He said, "Brother George, does your mouth hurt?" And I said, "No, it doesn't." He said, "Mine is killing me." You know, so he had interpreted a lot that day. But we have grown to be great friends. He is a very dear friend of mine. And as I said, he serves as the minister, one of three ministers at the Lviv Church of Christ. I'll tell you this quick story because I don't want to take much of his time. A couple years later, we're at Camp Americrain. And he comes to me and he says, "Hey, can we have a meeting with you? There are six of us that want to talk to you." I'm like, "Uh-oh." "Yeah, sure, whatever. Yeah, let's meet." So it was he and his fiance, now his wife, his brother Dima and his wife, and their great friend and brother Bogdan, and then Alina, his fiance. And they said, "Brother George, every congregation of the Lord's Church in Ukraine has been started by American missionaries. We would like to start a congregation by Ukrainians." What I didn't know at the time, he didn't ask me what I thought about that. He just asked for a little help. Because what they were going to do is the six of them after Camp Americrain, they didn't have children back then. They were just going to kind of caravan across the country. They had three or four places that they wanted to stop, meet the local people, see what's going on around there, pray about it, and then make a decision about where they thought the Lord would lead them to serve and to start a congregation. And they chose to a place, they wanted to choose a place where there was no congregation of the Lord's Church. And so I told them, "Man, I think that's awesome." And all they needed was just a little bit of funds to help them survive through this summer journey. Happy to do it. They called me one night and said, "We have visited these cities. We have prayed about it and we've made a decision. We think the Lord wants us in Lviv." Now let me tell you, about the providence of God. I cannot tell you how difficult it would have been for our brothers and sisters in Christ when this war started had there not been a presence of the church in Lviv. Lviv became a sanctuary city for people from the east that are trying to escape the terrible war that had started. And this place became a hub where people could come, many with just the clothes on their back and maybe a backpack of something. And they were provided a place to stay, a sleeping bag. They were bought clothes and food, and they were bought bus tickets for those that were going out of the country to Poland. And a lot of that was funded by your generosity. It was their calling to serve the Lord, and the Lord led them where they ought to be. Stas has a master's degree in theology from Bear Valley University, and he is planning to seek his PhD. We're looking at some universities here in the United States that can help him with that. He is a great man of God who has a burning fire for serving our God and for saving the lost. It is a blessing and a privilege to call him my friend. And so I want to give the opportunity now to Brother Stoss to come speak with us.
Good morning, church. Доброго ранку всім, хто тут присутній. It's not often time the Ukrainian language sounds from this pulpit, I guess. So I want to say good morning to Ukrainians too. Okay. Before we will start to talk about a little bit about what God told teach us, I want to introduce a little bit our work, what we're doing, and I want to show that through that I want to open the topic what we will gonna talk today. The topic when I share with you today is do not back down. So, but I want to start with some slides about the Ukraine. First of all, I already sitting when the George introduced me and think like, okay, next slide, because he told a little bit about what I want to share with you. But anyway, in 2015, we founded the Congregation of Church of Christ in Lviv. There were no Church of Christ in the whole region. So population of the region is from 2.5 million till 3 million people, and no Lord Church at all. So we feel that we need to do this. The team, you can see in the picture that it was a team. Me, Bogdan in the middle, and Dima, my wife Anna, Alina, and Alena. But let me tell you a little bit that in that year, in 2015, I was just 22 years old, and right now, I even do not trust myself. From 31 to 22, I will not sure that I will trust myself to go somewhere to establish the Lord Church. In that case, I want to encourage you to encourage young people to do the Lord work. All the time, when people grew up, and we have a lot of responsibility. We have a job, we have a work, we have a kids, we have a church, we have a lot of responsibility. And when the person become more older, it's hard to move somewhere in empty place where no church, where no Christians, to do the Lord's work. So I want to encourage you, we need encourage youth people when they do not have so much responsibility. Even we think they're not ready to do something. I believe that they are. It was in my story. And I want to encourage you to encourage your youth, to encourage your youth people to do what the Lord wants from them, from us. And we can see in the Bible a lot of stories when the young people can change the world. So, it's my message when we're talking about the Lviv Church of Christ. In the picture in up, you can see the first meeting. It was like a home congregation in the beginning, starting from 6 people. And right now, because of the war and because we raise our work for God, we right now have about 90 people there after 9 years. 9 years, 90 people. I think it's a good way to work for our God. Show you. Okay, this picture was taken a few weeks before full war invasion started. It was in our winter retreat what we're doing, by our congregation doing there, and you can talk with the Ukrainians who is there, like Julia, Vova. They have participated in that retreat. It was a good meeting for church. It's become like to unite Church of Christ in the western part of Ukraine. It was our goal because there is not a lot of congregations there. It could be one or two congregations for all regions. So we try to make a fellowship between each other. But right now it's for everyone, from all Church of Christ Christians, because a lot of churches stopped to exist, and I will tell you a little bit more about that. But anyway, this picture was taken a few weeks before the full invasion, and this picture was taken a month or two months after a full invasion. It's me before and after I become a mild soldier of Ukrainian army. I just retired 2 months, 3 months ago from Ukrainian army. I defend my land. I serving to my country. So, and I'm proud to be a Ukrainian, and I'm proud most of that, more than that, to be a Christian and to be a preacher of the Lord Church. And I have a joke. Do you know what the preacher will gonna do? Sometimes in army, I had a time when I need to serve 24, 25 hours without stopping, without like sleeping. We protect the sky from the kamikaze drones. And do you know what the preacher will gonna do 24, 25 hours with the team with whom he served? He will gonna preach. It's what I did it. And through that, one lady, my teammate, became a Christian. She's starting to visit the church, the girl sergeant in the army. She was not a Christian. She was not a visitor of Church of Christ. She was, it's her career to be a military. And we talk about the Bible, about God and everything. And finally, she came to church, start visiting worship services, and then she became a Christian. And right now she invite her husband, who fight on the war from 2014, because for Ukraine war start in 2014, and her husband serving in the army and fighting in the war from 2014. I'm glad that he still surviving. And right now he visits every single Sunday to worship God. He does not still obey the gospel, but we're working on that. Terry told me that it's old, so probably I need to do like that. Anyway, in the beginning of the war, you can see in the picture we evacuate. George Spalak already told you that we need to evacuate people who want to relocate themselves from the east, from the front line, from the war. And you can see different buses. I picked this different color of bus that you can recognize that different days of evacuation. And people say goodbye and did not know if they will see each other again. This is hard. This is hard for families to separate from their kids and from the people who they love. So I just want to share that you can a little bit feel that. And right now it's 2024. So right now it's the third year of full invasion war. And I want to remind you about that some people still separated from their family still. Many brothers and sisters serving the army, protecting their land, their home, and families. Some died and went missing. And you know, if in the battlefield you get missing, it means 99% that you was killed, but that your body can be evacuated from battlefield. So this is scary. This is horrible. And we know for sure some people, some our brothers was killed in this war. And you can see some different pictures from this slide, where you can see this is our brothers who's serving in an army. And one of him, it's Alex. You can see him right now. He in the front line. I'm asking you today, pray for him. It's a brother who prayed in uniform for Lord's Supper when he had a break to come and worshiping our Lord. Right now he is in a bad, very worse spot of this war. And I just text him in the worship service here that he asked him for prayer, because next 4 days they will be in action, in the battlefield. So please pray for them and remember your brothers and sisters who right now in the army, who paid the price for freedom for their land and to protect their homes, their cities. Please remember this, brothers and sisters. Case to exist, many churches, case to exist is long with their cities. I want to remind you that you can see in this picture the parade happened, celebration in the city. You can see kids celebrating something. I don't know actually what this celebrating is, what they celebrating. But you can see the joy and a lot of kids, colors. And in this city we had Church of Rise. Right now this city looks like that. It's completely dark, brutal, and dirty place. Destroyed it completely. We lost the congregation there. It's a Bakhmut city with a 70,000 people population. 70,000 people. Right now it's a ghost city. Let me remind you this. You can see on this picture the Christmas people celebrate Christmas. Christmas tree celebration. Kids have a lot of fun with their parents. And right now this city looks like that. This is Mariupol. You heard about that, I'm sure. But we have a lot of cities what was destroyed, and you never heard about these cities with a 70,000-50,000 people of population. And they a lot of cities look like this. You can see the 500,000 population of this city. If I'm correct, it's like a Mobile population, right? Can you imagine that destroyed it completely? And we have several congregations of Church of Christ there. I'm guessing maybe Sergey and Christina will know better the situation with the Christians there. But a lot of churches stop to exist. A lot of Christians just evacuate, relocate themselves from this city. So we, with this war, we lost the a lot of efforts what we did for Lord's work. Officially, 548 children died as a result of the Russian war against Ukraine. Well, you can see this performance in the main square of Lviv. It's empty strollers and empty car sitting for kids. It's a performance to show that how many kids we lost in this war. And this is just official information. This is just what we know for sure. Can you imagine this number? 548 kids was killed for nothing. And we don't have official information. We can't be sure about how much kids was killed in the occupied territory. We just don't have opportunity to see that. But let's come back to my topic. Do not back down. We have helped thousands of Ukrainians and preached about this gospel. We feed people, we house people, we pray with people, we dress people. This picture taken in the Church of Christ. And let me tell you a little bit about this brother. This is the refugee from the... A lot of refugees do not leave the country. A lot of refugees stay in the country, just relocate them to the western part. It's still a danger because it's no. It's in Ukraine. You don't have a safe place. It's everywhere, kamikaze drones or missile strikes, but more safely than in a lot of parts of our country. People move to Lviv, as already George told this that we. The Lviv Church of Christ become a hub for, and it was a God providence, believe me. We can see that right now. We did not see that when we started the congregation. But right now we can see, because we helped thousands of people in Lviv. And a lot of people, a lot of Christians relocate themselves through Lviv Church of Christ. And I, let me tell you, thank you. I'm amazed by your work, what you're doing for Ukraine. I'm amazed how much effort you give, how much support you give. I'm amazed by your how you love God and love His people. Because of you, we can do a lot for Ukraine. And let me remind, I want to tell you that maybe you read, maybe you heard, like our president said that I don't need to evacuate myself and my family. I need just a weapons. Maybe some of you hear this phrase from our president. A lot of ministers who stayed in the Ukraine, we say we don't need evacuation. We need the tools to work for Lord Church there. And I thank you that you support so much our church. And let me tell you that, church, you can be proud of your elder, George, who visited us in the middle of the war. If I'm correct, it was 2023 or 2023. He came to visit us. It was hard to stay alone. 1 week before full invasion, all embassies left us. All foreigners left us. Ukraine stay alone. And you remember that time from the news, because a lot of news say that Ukraine will stood 3 or 4 days or week. And they left us. And we stayed alone. And it is hard to stay alone. So you can be proud of your elder. He did a lot of efforts to raise, to grow up church in Ukraine. And I am amazed by all of you who contribute for work what we're doing in Ukraine. And I'm thankful that you host Ukrainians who evacuate their families here. So, but let me remind... let me tell you about this brother. Can you see, he's smiling? He is happy to do the work, Lord work. He is responsible right now. He's one of the leaders right now in Lviv Church. We ask him to be a leader because he lived more than 20 years in Christ. Almost all his kids in Christ except smallest one. So he's like example for us. And we invite him to... We don't have elders, unfortunately. So we lead our church how we can to lead, how the Bible tries to tell us how to lead through the Bible. But, and we invite him to be one of the leaders in our church, and he responsible for humanitarian aid for people. Every single Sunday we have more than 20 different people. Each Sunday is different people, different refugees who come to church to worshiping with us, to receive some humanitarian aid for food, dress, whatever, everything what they need. And we share the gospel with them. We share directly. Sometimes in our Christianity, we try to invite person to church by very long way. Like we invite, first of all, we invite for visit, walking in the park, or for dinner, then we invite him to some event for a church, then we invite him to the Bible class, and then we share the gospel with him. Right now in Ukraine, we don't have so much time to share the gospel because you literally can be killed any day. So this brother asked people directly, are you sure you're safe? Are you sure you're going to heaven? Because most of the people, they're religious. Most of the people in Lviv, they believe in God, but probably not biblical way of worshiping our mighty God. So, but and he first his question every single Sunday after worship service when he have special class for refugees who's not Christian. Are you sure you are going to heaven? And then he shared the gospel with them. Then he shared the Bible, a way to be saved. But when he came, when he came to leave, he relocated himself from the east. He was not smiling.
He was absolutely not smiling, the person. He came to me and said to me, I'm lost myself. He is second time refugee. First time, he lost everything, his home, everything what for his work, everything, in 2014 when Russians occupied his city, Donetsk. And he moved from this city. And he moved and become find new work, start to build a new house. And then the Russians came to Bakhmut. He's from Bakhmut second time. And he lost again everything. He lost everything again. And he told me, I'm lost myself. I don't know what I'm gonna do in this life anymore. Twice this person lost everything. Just draw this picture in your mind. Compare with your life. And right now, look at his smile. He doesn't have much. But he has love of God and he's serving to his God. He do not back down at all. And let me tell you quickly, next picture, it's a process of sharing the humanitarian aid to the church. And look at the third picture. Right now will be not commercial, but I want to share this with you. When the war starts, all the companies left, a foreign company left us. They do not believe that the Ukraine survived. McDonald's, KFC, and others foraging company for Ukraine. But do you know what company still working? Domino's Pizza. Can you imagine this picture? Like the missile strikes everywhere, kamikaze drones everywhere, and we have a lot of refugees. We pray with them, we cry with them. After worship service, we stay longer just spending time together, and we think we need to feed people. We don't have a lot of kitchen, big kitchen in our church, and we think like a lot of companies left us where we can order the food, and then like Domino's, they work. We call Domino's. Can you imagine sirens and the person on the bicycle come to us to bring the pizza? It's not probably they need to pay me for that commercial. During the 2 years of the war, there were 25 baptisms just in Lviv, and almost about 500 in all over Ukraine. This picture taken in Lviv. These all pictures what happened in Lviv, and it's what Lord did. It's not our work. It's a God work. I want that we can say thank you to God because it's His word. It's His way to salvation. It's His church. It's His work. We need to glorify it and honor Him. Sometimes I had to baptize people. This is me in uniform. Sometimes I had to baptize people immediately after serving in the army. And I did not have the time to change my uniform to my preacher uniform. And today I'm not in a preacher uniform like your preachers with a tie, with a t-shirt, but I with my Ukrainian t-shirt. So, and sometimes, and it's not just me. We have a lot of ministers we have some ministers who serve in the army, and we have some ministers who stay in, a lot of ministers who stayed in Ukraine and do Lord job in really bad circumstances. They keep going, do the work of God. They do not back down. In Lviv, since the beginning of the war, the Lviv church has been meeting 6 times a week before the full invasion. We're meeting like 2 or 3 times like most of the churches. But because we had a lot of people, 1,000 people, not all of them, of course, members of the church, but they come into the church and we worship them, we're serving them, we're worshiping God, we share the gospel with them. This is the picture right now. It's a Lviv church. Here, one Sunday in this year, we had 100 people in the worship service. So you can remember the first picture, 6 people. And right now you can see a crowd of people who are serving God. And let me tell you, like 6 times per week we have a woman classes. We have what we call the Bible school, when we deeply study the Bible. We have a children club and youth meeting every Saturday. And, of course, Sunday worship service. We have a refugee house. We give hope and love to these who have lost everything, like our brother Alexander from the pictures, who lost everything twice. His family and his family right now living in this house, what we vote for people, for our brothers and sisters who lost everything. They just lost home. They become a homeless. They become a homeless. This is the biggest problem in Ukraine when a lot of governments talking about how to stop the war in Ukraine. What we're going to do with people like Alexander and his family who lost everything. They're homeless because of this war. And the church does a lot of work to make this possible. It's some work what we're doing in this building to repair, to prepare them. And we want this refugee house not just for... you know, like when you think about refugees camp, usually it's like 10 or 100 beds inside of a small room. We want to give to our brothers and sisters a home that they will, after the work or after the church, they can say, "Bye, son. I need to go come back to home." This is much more important. So, to this refugee house, we have a goal to complete and to give opportunity for 40 people, 40 our brothers and sisters, to find a home there in Lviv. But it's not just Lviv Church of Christ. All over Ukraine, church have increased their service, baptisms, and evangelization despite the bombs, missiles, shots, kamikaze drones, and the contact danger to life and health. Every church is start to meeting like almost every day to worship their God. And new congregations were founded during the war, like in Dnipro, Chernihiv, Uzhgorod, Mykolaiv. My good friend Sasha Rodichev, probably heard this name before, he established church, found out the Congregation of Church of Christ in 2023. A year ago, right now he has 50 or 70 people. Of course, not all of them is a member of the Church of Christ, member of people, but a lot of people came to the church because they're refugees from different areas. And we come to my topic, do not back down from the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter of circumstances where you are. We can't be a Christian just in a good day. We have to be a Christian every day. In dirty day, in brutal day, in dark days, we have to bow down to our Lord. And let me tell you, we can't be Christian just in the bad days too. Because sometimes when people went through a valley of death, and the good days came, they start forgetting about God too. We have to be a Christian 24/7. How you call this? 24/7? 24/7. And let me remind you one verse. Maybe you will recognize where it is. Only be strong and courageous enough to keep doing according to all His law. It's from Joshua 1:7. Only be strong and courageous. We can't back down. We need to be strong and courage to do Lord's work every day of our Christian life. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are, in what circumstances you are. I don't want that we will be the person like in the down who almost came to the prize and just back down. He worked hard, finally got it, and left it. And let's think about what if they back down. Let's think about this question. What if they back down? Noah, in Genesis 6, chapter 6, 7, and 8, you know this story, so I will save our time, do not reading this story. But Imagine this picture. If Noah did not complete the ark, so he would like obey the God, started building, but he did not complete the construction and retreated. He would have died with all his family. Actually, by the way, it looks like not often time Ukraine preachers preach on your churches, what I recognize. You know how I recognize that? By your pulpit. Your people taller than our people. I have my space. This is my space. This is my size. I need to remove my tablet here. Just think about that. What if Noah backed down? He will lose his life. He lost his family. Let's think about one more character in the Bible. What if David backed down? From 1 Samuel, we read a little bit about this in the beginning. He did not, if he will back down, he did not deliver Israel from the make free Israel from the situation where they were. He will not protect God's name. He will not have become a king, and he will not be that friend of God what Bible described him, if he will back down. Just imagine this picture if David came to battlefield, physical battlefield, but in the same way it was a spiritual battlefield. Both. This story showed us both, like in one, two in one. Physical and spiritual battle in one battlefield. And imagine if he will like, I will gonna beat him. And then when he came to the battlefield, look on Goliath and say, not today. Just think about that. He will lost everything. Like the person from the first picture, he will almost get the prize, but left it. And the main person, what I want to share with you, it's okay. What if Jesus has stepped back? Why, on one occasion, Jesus had such thoughts. We know that from Matthew 26:39. Let's read. He went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." He had thoughts to step back from what he's doing on the earth. But he said very important words. Yes, not as I will, but as you will. This supposed to be, have to be the phrase of our life. When we meet some bad, some worse circumstances, and when we have two roads, to do righteousness, to do good for God, or depart from will of God. To back down from will of God, because bad days come in my life. I can't do this. I can't act anymore like a Christian. So I will choosing the bad way. I will start to choose the bad ways to acting. And think about if he had backed away, we will have no hope. We will not have a salvation. We will have no way of salvation if he backed down. And let me show you a few more passages what I want to share till in the end. We are called by God's word not to give up in three things, and I want to share these three things with you. First of all, it's do not back down from his will. From the Matthew 7:21 and 23, we call by God. Let's read this passage. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Sorry for my English. You have your Bibles. For not everyone who believes will enter paradise. Not everyone. It depends of your acts. It depends on the way what you're choosing. So we call by God's word not to give up and do righteousness. Let's read one more passage from Revelation 2:10, where we call be faithful to the end. You know this passage, Revelation 2:10. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Do not be afraid of what we have to go through. It is not our circumstances that should influence on our faith, but our faith that should influence on our circumstances where we are. If we will give a chance to influence, to give chance to circumstances influence on our faith, we will lose our faith. It's supposed to be faith supposed to influence on our circumstances where we are, in the good days or in the bad days. That your faith, your obeying to God, it's much more bigger than circumstances. The heaven is much more bigger than circumstances. Our lives much more shorter. The bad days will pass. So we need to be strong in God. We need to be strong in God's word. So do not retreat and be faithful. I want to encourage you. I want to call you to be faithful to God until your last breath. In the military actions, in the combat actions, I had some situations in my life, in my work in military. You have to be faithful to God until your last breath, because this is what we choose. We need to remind ourselves a duty what we have, duty for God, duty for family. This word, we discussed this with George, this word, duty, people become starting to forget it. What is mean? Duty. And this is very important. Duty for your God and duty for your family. Duty for your land. Duty for people who you love. And one more. Do not back down from the... When you're preaching to others, we take care... We need to... When you're preaching, when you share the gospel to and other people, you need to be confident that you will not back down from God through your preaching. And Apostle Paul said in the 1 Corinthians 9:25-27, everyone who competes in the game exercise self-control in all things, they then do it to receive a perishable wreath. You have your Bible. But we in the imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in a such way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from this. Our Christian life, it's not the beating of air. Our Christian life, it's not the empty things.
So when we serve others, when we preach to others, we'll be careful not to lose your faith. Because sometimes we're disappointed about a lot of things. Sometimes we're disappointed about the people. But we can't leave our duty, our God, His Word. Run Christian life with a goal at the end. Always have this goal in front of you. Fight in this life for a reason, not just to swing or boxing with the air. Train your body that temptation and sins will not be part of your life, and live in righteousness in order not to be rejected by our God. And let me finish with a couple things. First of all, do not depart from God and His will. Run the Christian life so that at the finish line you enter to heaven, you enter to paradise. Do not turn your Christian life, which you once began with a warm heart, into routine church goal. In the first, remember your first day when you become a Christian, your warm heart to receive the salvation in your life, to share the gospel with the other people. Always remember this in your life. Always remember in your heart and thoughts. Because if not, it could become a routine church go. But do you know what happens if you just church go? You will become a person who church out. So you church go and you church out. We are not church go or church out. We are Christian, we are church 24/7. This is our life. This is our Christian life. So I want to encourage you to do that. And do, please, brothers and sisters, do His will and be faithful to the end. Never, ever back down. Remember people in the Bible who never back down. Remember that Jesus never back down. Even He had some thoughts about, that, but He remembered His duty to His Father, what He had to do. And He said, your will much more important than my will, that my desire to do something. This is very important. And please remember your brothers and sisters in Ukraine who right now in really bad circumstances, who right now in a dark situation, in a brutal situation, in a dirty situation. So pray for Ukraine, pray for people in Ukraine, and thank you for your attention.
Stas mentioned Noah, Genesis 6, 7, and 8. And he said, what if Noah would have backed down? I'm going to take it a step further. What if Noah would have accepted the challenge, and then Noah would have completed the ark? Some say it took 100 to 110 years to build. And then God said, Noah, okay, now enter the ark. I'm about to send rain. And Noah said, nah, I'm done. What if he'd have done all the hard work and got to the moment to go in where the safety was going to be there, and he said, no, I'll see you later. You see, folks, the hard work has been done. Jesus did the hard work. Jesus built our ark today. He is our lifeline to save us from the flood. Why would we get to the door of the cross and not come on through? Today, some of you might have gotten to that point. You might be at the moment where you want to walk out this aisle and walk forward to the cross, to salvation, and enter, as Peter said, that antitype which now saves us, namely baptism. Why not today? Why not right now? Maybe you're here today and you've obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, but somewhere along the way, because of free will and God will allow you to let go of His hand, you quit walking. The good news is there's hope. The good news is there's opportunity. I can't promise you tomorrow or next Sunday, but I can promise you right now. The invitation is extended. If you have a need, won't you come right now together? We stand and sing.